BBC News with Marion Marshall. More than 200 people have been injured in fighting between supporters and opponents of the Egyptian president, Mohamed Morsi, in Cairo. The clashes started when supporters of the president came to break up those protesting against Egypt's new draft constitution. From Cairo, John Lyne reports.
This outbreak of violence is the latest and possibly most dangerous development in Egypt's growing political crisis. Supporters of President Morsi marched on the presidential palace and launched what looked like a deliberate attack on a sit-in of the president's opponents. They tore down tents, then the two sides threw rocks at each other and firebombs, and there appears to have been gunfire as well. Opposition leaders accused the Islamist movement, the Muslim Brotherhood, of organising the attack. It was ominously reminiscent of the tactics used by former President Mubarak during the revolution, when he let loose violent thugs on his opponents.
Palestinian leaders are warning that Israel's push to build thousands of new homes for Jewish settlers on occupied territory near Jerusalem will destroy the last hopes of a negotiated peace. President Mahmoud Abbas called the plans a red line, and a senior negotiator said construction would be regarded as an Israeli decision to end the peace process. United Nations top humanitarian official Valerie Amos has said she's horrified by the conditions faced by Muslims from the Rohingya minority who've been displaced by ethnic conflict in western Burma. More than 135,000 people are living in camps in Rakhine State, the vast majority of them Rohingyas. Jonah Fisher was with Baroness Amos.
There are two camps for displaced people on the peninsula of Maibon. One is well kept, with smart tents, working sanitation and a regular delivery of food and medical supplies. It is exclusively for the use of Rakhine Buddhists. A short drive up the road, past the burnt-out squares that were once their homes, is the camp for the Rohingya Muslims. 4,000 men, women and children live crammed together on a fetid pile of mud, surrounded by streams of sewage-filled water. There are Burmese guards to stop them leaving.
A group of Eritrean footballers and their doctor, who earlier this week went missing in Uganda, have applied for asylum in the country. Eritrea had just been about to play Ethiopia. Peter Biles reports.
The 17 Eritrean players and the team doctor disappeared from their hotel at the weekend. They'd been taking part in a regional competition in Uganda. At first, it was said they'd gone shopping. But five Eritrean officials and two remaining players flew home on Tuesday without the rest of the team. Now the Commissioner for Refugees in Uganda, David Apollo Kazungu, says the missing Eritreans have met him and asked for asylum. They reportedly said they were unhappy with the conditions in their country.
World News from the BBC. There's been a large explosion in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. Police said the blast occurred in the predominantly Somali district of Eastleigh. A number of people have been injured. There have been several attacks in Eastleigh in recent months, blamed on the Somali Islamist group Al-Shabaab. The custodians of a former Nazi concentration camp in Poland say they're deeply shocked and outraged over allegations that a Swedish artist took ashes from the site and used them in one of his paintings. Officials from the Majdanek Museum said they hoped the authorities would quickly establish whether the allegations were true. Adam Easton reports.
On the Swedish gallery's website to promote Mr. von Hausvoll's exhibition, it says he visited the camp in 1989 and collected ashes from the crematoria. They remained in a jar until 2 years ago, when the visual artist and composer decided to mix them with water and use them in a painting as a reminder of the people tortured and murdered in the camp. Museum officials said the painting may be artistic provocation, but it deserved only condemnation. The museum estimates that the Nazis murdered 80,000 people in Majdanek, three-quarters of them Jews.
48 countries have agreed to unite their efforts against child sexual abuse online. The signatories included the United States, all European Union members, Nigeria, Thailand and the Philippines. At the launch in Brussels, they said they would boost joint efforts to identify victims, prosecute offenders and stamp out the trade in online images of child sexual abuse. The pioneering jazz musician Dave Brubeck has died a day before his 92nd birthday in the American state of Connecticut. The Dave Brubeck Quartet's pieces, such as Take Five, caught listeners' ears with challenging rhythms and became enduring standards. Take Five was the first jazz instrumental to sell more than 1 million copies. BBC News.